It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Welcome to History in the Making. It's Arraignment Day. Donald Trump will become the first former president in American history to face criminal charges. He's being arraigned today after being indicted last week by a grand jury in Manhattan. So here's how the day is scheduled to unfold. Trump should arrive at the courthouse around 11 a.m. Eastern, where he'll be booked and fingerprinted. Usually a mugshot would be taken, but that's still not clear whether or not that'll happen. He's not expected to be handcuffed, though reportedly Trump wanted his hands cuffed behind his back. It's all part of the martyr thing. And then at 2:15 Eastern, Trump will be brought into the courtroom where the indictment will be unsealed and he'll be formally charged. Now, we don't know whether they'll read or waive the reading of the indictment, but it will be unsealed and released, so we'll know what's in it. Trump is expected to plead not guilty and then immediately head back to Mar-a-Lago, where at 8:15 Eastern tonight, he will, quote, deliver remarks. The media will be complicit in its coverage of the former guy, bloviating as usual. But at 3:30 this afternoon, Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg will hold a news conference speaking about the indictment for the first time. We do know that the arraignment will not be televised. Pool photographers will be allowed to take some still pictures before the arraignment begins, but live cameras will not be allowed. The ruling coming from the judge, who said, never in the history of the United States has a sitting or past president been indicted on criminal charges. Mr. Trump's arraignment has generated unparalleled public interest and media attention. You think? In other news, this is the weird story of the day. Roy McGrath, who once served as the chief of staff to former Maryland Governor Larry Hogan, died Monday during a confrontation with police after a three-week manhunt. McGrath had been on the run after he failed to show up for a trial on March 13th on fraud and embezzlement charges. Wow. So we're learning more about the shooting in Nashville at the Covenant School last week. The murderer, we've now learned, planned the attack for months and fired a total of 152 rounds and killed six people, three adults and 3 9-year-old children, before police stormed the school and fatally shot the 28-year-old killer. Police later found journals and other writings the killer left behind that indicated they were acting alone. On Monday, thousands of students marched on the state capitol in Nashville, demanding action to curb gun violence. The Republican governor of Tennessee, Bill Lee, said he supported reviewing Tennessee's gun laws. We'll see what that means. Meanwhile, Tennessee isn't the only place with students walking out and protesting. In fact, this is a whole week of action put together by Students Demand Action and Moms Demand Action. Students are walking out of more than 50 schools across the country this week. North Carolina, Nebraska, South Carolina, Texas, and Florida are among the many states where these rallies are being held. Here in Florida, where What's News originates, the governor on Monday signed a bill allowing Floridians to carry concealed weapons without a permit. Unlike many of his high-profile bill signings, this one was not done at a big public ceremony. He did it privately in his office, surrounded by gun lobbyists. And tomorrow, we'll see Florida students walk out and protest as well. But there was another protest in Florida on Monday as the Florida Senate approved a ban on abortion after 6 weeks of pregnancy, though they cleared the gallery before they took the final vote. What are they afraid of? The bill still has to pass the Florida House before going to Governor DeSantis for his signature. Well, 11 protesters who were sitting on the sidewalk outside of City Hall in Tallahassee, including Florida Democratic Party Chair Nikki Fried and State Senator Lauren Book, were handcuffed and arrested on Monday night by Tallahassee police. Fried and Book and the other protesters were charged with misdemeanor trespassing and released on their own recognizance. They were let out of jail at about midnight. So Florida's not crazy enough for you. Check out Missouri, where Republicans have put forth a proposal to defund all of Missouri's public libraries. The proposal is now moving to the state Senate. Just incredible. And from the who could have possibly seen this one coming files, Starbucks has fired an employee who led the campaign to unionize a store in Cheektowaga, New York, according to the Buffalo News. The longtime shift operator, Lexi Rizzo, was fired by the company 2 days after former CEO Howard Schultz faced tough questioning by Bernie Sanders and the Senate Help Committee about alleged labor law abuses by the coffee chain. The company said Rizzo was fired because she was late too often. The union, Starbucks Workers United, called the move payback. Richard Bensinger, a longtime union leader who served as an advisor to the Starbucks union, said firing her 2 days after Schultz was grilled at the hearing about his illegal activity is pretty unbelievable. Well, that's one word for it. And that's just a bit of what's news for now on Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.